Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Community Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Cole Warner. Special guest with me today, Megan Owens. She has been on here. This might be the third time over three seasons. We always enjoy having her on. Megan has been with us for over 5.5 years now and is a facility case manager and does a lot of work with the specific thing we're going to talk about today. So first, let me just say welcome to the podcast, Megan.
Thank you for having me again.
Megan has a wealth of experience, especially in our long-term care facilities. And we introduced sort of a serious topic for this season, talking about hospice appropriateness and what that looks like for different diagnoses. Now, up front, to be able to take to have hospice care, you must have a terminal illness with a prognosis of 6 months or less, with certified by a physician, right, if the disease were to take its natural course. Now, that being said, patients live far less than 6 months, and some patients live far longer than 6 months, and that is not an exact science. And as Megan is going to talk to you today, diagnoses, depending on the diagnosis, that looks very different when somebody is sort of ready for that hospice-type care. And so Megan's going to speak to us today about Alzheimer's dementia diagnoses and what that looks like in those patients. And our goal today is that if you've had experience with this, or maybe you have someone with a diagnosis like this, that you can sort of understand what we're looking at, some of what we're helpful with, some of what you can, you know, expect to see, even though it can be individualized. And so really just bringing this to you and normalizing a lot of what we see every day in this specific diagnosis. So Megan, if I could, just for a little bit of background, have you talk about your experience with patients who have an Alzheimer's or diagnosis and sort of the work that you do with them currently for Hospice of Davidson County?
So I've been a case manager for 5.5 years with Hospice of Davidson County, and I have worked in our long-term care facilities for that duration of time. We do serve patients in assisted living facilities and skilled nursing facilities and memory care units. With Alzheimer's, you see a vast array of stages in their disease progression. We have patients that are still ambulatory. We have patients that can still feed themselves. And then we have the other end of the spectrum where our patients are bedbound, total care, you know, require the staff at the facilities to do everything for them. I think part of what we want to talk about today is not waiting till the last minute to bring on hospice care. Let us come in early and help you through that journey of the Alzheimer's progression.
And this is a disease that has a very long progression compared to some of the others, right? I've had some clients who've lost people to this, and they may have been a primary total caregiver for years up until this. Is that what you see in our facilities as well, that this is just a really long process?
It really varies from patient to patient, and it also depends on what other comorbidities they have. But just Alzheimer's in general, yes, it can last, you know, for several years, even that the stages of the prognosis.
We talk about this being one of the more difficult ones for loved ones to see their family go through. Why is that?
So I often have conversations with families, and they express to me it feels like they lose their loved one twice. You know, the memory goes, and then eventually they lose their loved one. But when that memory goes, it's almost like feeling like you've already lost them once. And I think that is one thing that makes this diagnosis one of the more difficult ones for families to deal with.
Well, I think that's why we wanted to maybe tackle this one first, because not that, you know, when you do hospice care, you know, there are difficulties, hardships, pain that come along with every process, right? So this is not to say that this process is more difficult than others, but that idea of losing someone twice can be really hard when you're making goals of care decisions. And really choosing hospice is a goals of care decision, right? When you make someone, you know, comfort care or however you want to put it. It really is a goals of care discussion. And so when you feel like you're losing them twice, that can add a burden to that. So let's get into what this looks like. What are you, when someone elects hospice earlier with a diagnosis, what are some of the common stages of the disease that they're in? What's displaying to our families?
So we use a FAST scale is what it's called. It's how we, assess what level of Alzheimer's disease they are in our weekly assessments. For Alzheimer's specifically, there is a certain level that they have to meet to be hospice appropriate. And then from there, you know, we normally see that progression through that scale as time goes on. When the Alzheimer's patients first become hospice appropriate, you know, we may notice more memory loss, of course, but more requiring assistance with ADLs, with the everyday things, the bathing, the dressing, the feeding. They may forget to do the little things. And those things are kind of hard to pick up on when all of this first starts. Walking is a big thing for Alzheimer's patients. You know, we have to pay close attention to, are they walking? Are they using assistive devices? Do they have to have somebody there with them? Infections comes along with Alzheimer's. You know, they may not get themselves as clean as they once did, and that can, of course, cause infections. They later on in the process, they may not swallow as well, and that can lead to pneumonia. So there's a lot of things that go into the Alzheimer's disease that some people wouldn't think of.
And those are, in my experience doing this, it's the things that we often don't think of that catch us off guard and then are hard, maybe the hardest to deal with or to process through, right? We're going to do an episode on repeated hospitalizations and hospice-appropriate patients. And these are I imagine those are the things that have people going to the doctor again and again and again, right? And being in long-term care and hospitals.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned earlier that, and you're correct, it's why we're doing this, that we want people to be able to take advantage of hospice earlier. But before we get into that, I guess I would just like to really hear your perspective on what are some of the challenges that families face. So you talked about the patients and some of what we're seeing in them. But what does this present for families? Hard to pick up on. And then they have to sort of process that. What do we see with our families? And what are you talking to them about during this time?
So once we get a patient that is, their diagnosis is Alzheimer's disease, you know, I'm doing lots of education with the families on what they may see as this disease progresses, and how we're going to be there for the patient and for them during this process. That's one reason why I feel it's so important to get hospice involved early, is so we can be that support system for them and for the patient. You know, as we go in and we see things changing, I'm there providing education to them, support. This is what I'm seeing in your loved one. This is how we're going to support you. This is how we're going to manage this. And you know, with our support services, our social workers, our chaplains, they're there providing that emotional support level to them too. And that is so important, and especially the Alzheimer's diagnosis, because it is so difficult, you know, feeling like you're losing your loved one now and then knowing that you're going to lose them again later.
Do you see one of the things we talk about, and actually I think you were on one episode when we talked about caregiving, do you see people feeling guilt, or especially when maybe a loved one is too much to, with Alzheimer's, is they can't take care of them anymore, and maybe they go from home to a facility. Do you see families experiencing guilt, experiencing feelings that maybe they didn't do something right or didn't do enough, or whatever that might look like?
Most definitely. So, you know, as Alzheimer's progresses, it is very difficult to care for an Alzheimer's patient at home. Not only are you dealing with the memory loss and the safety risks, but you're also dealing with the total care, you know, having to totally care for them at home. These days, it seems like people are having to work longer. So therefore, you're having to hire caregivers to come into the home while you're working. And it does, it is a, you know, a heavy load to carry for the families. With that being said, we do get, you know, people who transfer from home to facilities, and there is a level of guilt a lot of times with the families. But we just provide support to them and let them know, you know, they have done all that they can to care for their loved one. And actually, they're doing them a favor by reaching out and looking for more assistance, because truly they will get, you know, good care between the facility and involving hospice and us being an extra set of eyes and ears.
I guess I didn't plan on going here today, but I don't think this is a bad area to discuss the different, we take care of patients in the home, in the facility, you know, in our inpatient unit. Those are those are similar options for what people who have an Alzheimer's diagnosis have, right? And so once they progress, there are specialized care in facilities that are where people are trained and work with all the time, those types of diagnoses.
Absolutely. So in some of our facilities, we have, or they have, memory care units that are locked. The patients are not, you know, able to get out, and that's a safety concern for many Alzheimer's patients. But those staff work day in and day out with memory care patients, patients with dementia of all types, not just Alzheimer's. And they do, you know, specialize their care toward that memory care Alzheimer's, the requirements that it takes to care for those patients.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things from my field is seeing people struggle with that because, you know, they're making choices based off of necessity, based off of what they believe is best for the patient, but that doesn't make it easy, right? And maybe this is a good way to go into choosing hospice early, because I know our philosophy is helping people to feel like they're making good decisions for the patient, what the patient would desire in this situation, even though they probably at some points can't speak for themselves and make their needs known, that families do that. So let's talk about those advantages of electing hospice early in the process.
So when it comes to, you know, supporting the family and educating them on how to care for their loved one, when we get involved early, you know, we can help them and guide them to talk with the patient when they are still able to make some decisions and figure out what the patient's goal is. That way, when the patient's not able to make those decisions, we can follow through with what we knew that their goals were and what their wishes were. And I think that takes some level of guilt and burden off the family, because they knew, you know, this is what my mom or my dad wanted. Just providing that support to them. And one big thing is to help normalize what they're seeing. I have this conversation probably on a weekly basis about the normal progression of a disease, not just Alzheimer's, but whatever disease process we're dealing with. And I think that also helps take some worries off the family, is knowing that this, you know, this is normal. What we're seeing is normal.
And this is one of those areas where some facilities, some hospital systems have specific Alzheimer's caregiver support groups, because it's really, really difficult to watch that happen. And it's a long, again, like we talked about, it's a long process. And, you know, I said this back with our episode on signs and symptoms at end of life, is that, you know, none of what Megan has said today is to make it easy or tell you that, you know, we just know everything and make it super simple on families, right? That is not what we're saying. But what we do know is that, as she just mentioned, having the conversations early, engaging and knowing about all your options early, allows you to take the time to process and think about what your loved one needs and what would be most helpful to them. And people like Megan, we have some amazing facility case managers that take great care of specifically these diagnoses, as well as in the home. You know, we didn't talk about that too much just because I would say that quite a few of our patients are in facilities who have this diagnosis, but they do some amazing work, not just with the patients, but making sure that families feel comfortable, even when it's difficult, in the care that's being provided. And so thank you, Megan, for coming on and discussing that today.
Absolutely.
And if people would like more information about specific services that either hospice offers, but more specifically about Alzheimer's or dementia diagnoses, we have a lot of resources on our website, hospiceofdavidson.org, where you can read. But also, don't be afraid to reach out if you would like an assessment, or if you talk about the FAST assessment scale that we use. Talk to your doctor, right? Be willing to have that conversation early, because it may make it a little easier on you in the end. So we want to make sure we encourage people to do that and bring on hospice. I'll say this at the end of every one of these episodes: bring on hospice is not giving up, and it's not letting go. We take care of patients for a long time. We provide great quality of life for patients, and that's what we're designed to do.